George is blocked, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh, my goodness gracious. Of all the dramatic things, I've ever seen, Roger Clemens standing right in George Steinbrenner's box, announcing he is back. Roger Clemens is a New York Yankee.
Sounds like someone calling the Hindenburg disaster.
Right. It's
like, I mean, it really does.
There's panic in her voice.
I mean, it sounds like someone like, oh no, the horror, the gore, oh my goodness, oh humanity. I mean, Jesus, calm down. And by the way, like, everyone knew Clemens was coming back. And even, I don't care, even if it was the strangest, even if he rose from the ashes, even if he just came, everyone, he had disappeared for 3 years and now was back. Nothing in the world legitimizes that kind of reaction to something.
I just imagine being like a waiter who accidentally brought her the wrong meal and the kind of treatment you're going to get. I ordered it medium rare. Oh, my God. Get me, this fuck is dirty. Or being married to that person. Could you imagine that?
Is she married?
I don't know.
Because that's got to be hard for the husband if she is dead at the end of the season. It's like, oh, God.
You were living the life for a while?
Yeah, she's in bed with the lights off for a week. She's got to decompress in quotations.
Right.
The kids are all hiding around the house. They don't want to be found. Guys, this is the week. Mom's going to be a little upset, okay?
This is when the Babadook returns.
This is
when you hide from the monster.
This is nothing to do with you guys. Believe me when I say this is no fault of your own. You know, Boone made some weird decisions during that series. And you know what? We're just going to have to ride this out a little bit.
I mean, the thing is with her, too, is that I don't know if you've heard it, but there was a... I guess that at one point she fancied herself a singer. Did you hear her do
God.
Yeah, we're going to have to pull the audio. I saw this a while back. She did the national anthem before the Yankees.
I got the straight edge.
And she's it's like a honk. It's like a honking sound that comes out of her voice when she sings.
Yes.
I read somewhere she used to be
Yellow Wind Beneath My Wings.
A Broadway performer.
Already.
Was she really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was one of them burlesque dances. A little bit of leg, a little shake. A little bit of leg. I was Rubenesque.
Who are you now?
I have curves in all the right places.
The best is the pairing between the two of them, because you have the one guy in John Sterling who just misses calls constantly, and then you have her who almost seems that she's corrected him so many times that she's just stopped correcting him.
Yes.
Where it just gets so bad. So here's I have a little compilation here of some of our best moments between the two of them.
Cheetah swings and drills one at deep left. Beckmo span on the track looking up, and that ball is going to be off the wall it's caught by Span right at the wall. I thought that ball was going to be over his head. Now the 2-1. Swung on, hit on the ground is short. Backhanded by Jeter. Goes to Cano 1 on the first. Double play! What a double play! DeShera made a great scoop. Why did they call the run of saves? The ball come out of the zero as well.
Jeter on second, Jeter on first, no one out, pitch, and he... I think they called it a strike. On the board, they have a ball. A-Rod actually ran the hands up. He didn't bunt at it. Well, they did call it a ball. Why am I delaying? I can't pick up Mike Everett. Another guy who doesn't figure out that you have to hold your arm or hand out to the right for a strike. Now, here comes the 3-1 to Swisher. It's high ball. Whoa. Excuse me. And I umpire. I manage, I umpire. It was a pitch that was high, and it was called a strike. Swisher didn't think so. I didn't either.
It's great.
I mean, he's had ones where that have just completely missed. Like he's missed the call. Like,
confusing Ichiro and A-Rod is quite amazing, actually. Yeah.
They look very similar. And I like getting upset with the umpire for not being distinctive enough with his strike call. Come on. Stick your arm out, bozo. Some of us are trying to call a game. And by the way, he's got an earpiece in with someone who's telling him everything that's happening. Oh, yeah.
See, I thought he was just looking at like a screen.
I mean, there's like someone there to help. Yeah, there's... what's the situation? There's always like a stats guy.
Yeah, there's a stats guy right next to him. Yeah. Or in between the two of them.
Right.
I know in the Red Sox booth, you have a stats guy in between the two guys. So I assume the stats guys are in between Sterling and Waldman.
And for the amount
I didn't
of money,
know about the earpiece, though.
No, maybe not. But for the amount of money that the stats guy's making, you have to assume the stats guy is a little bit younger.
Yeah, wave him down. Say usually it's like a college kid who comes and does it. So yeah. For the summer. So they got no, John, he caught it. It's at the wall there. Span has it. It's right there.
All right, I got another one right here. Okay. Here is Morris Sterling and Waldman.
Tampa Bay is down 5-0, and they're playing the infield back. Are you kidding me? They're going to give the Yankees another run? All Abreu has to do is hit a ground ball. It's a ground ball. He'll get his 99th RBI. I'm amazed they're playing the infield back. The pitch is high. Can't imagine that. They're giving the Yankees a run, and the Yanks already have a 5-0 lead. That's against every baseball principle. In other words, you have to take a chance if you're down 5. You can't give them 6. Got to take a chance that the ball will go through. Pitch is swung on, a high fly to left. That gets in the run. And it is... Oh, I'm sorry, that's the third out. What am I... I forgot about Cabrera. So, Bray, who flies out to right, that's why the infield was back. I was dead wrong. I forgot all about Cabrera's out. That's why they played the infield back. There were two outs.
Yeah. Well, that's kind
that's
of
a problem.
He was very pleased with himself that he realized that the infield was back.
Right.
He was telling everybody his knowledge of the game, and then it came back to bite him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know that last night you had a very angry CC Sabathia at the behind the plate calls of Angel Hernandez. Now, Angel Hernandez has sucked, and he has sucked this entire series. But last night,
no, he just sucks in general. I mean, he's wildly considered the worst ump in baseball, and there is a belief that since he's sued the league, that he's getting these playoff opportunities when doesn't warrant that.
By the way, great line this morning. I forget which national writer said it. We should all be happy Angel Hernandez wasn't at first base last night because it would have had to overturn a safe call to end the series.
Yeah.
Oh, so, sure.
Yeah,
which would have been fun.
Yeah, he would have screwed it up somehow.
However, CC Sabathia last night, I think behind the plate, really, the
he was
calls,
fine.
He was, yeah. Well, not only was he fine, but if you wanted to argue that he made some bad calls in anyone's favor, it would have been in the Yankees' favor. Who was it that struck out? Was it Brock Holt?
It was Benintendi. Betances struck out Benintendi on a pitch that was outside.
That's right.
It was outside in the eighth inning with runners on base. Benintendi gets a hit there. You know, then even if Kimbrel walks the tightrope, it's a little easier.
So here's CC Sabathia just offering this up after the game without even anyone asking about it.
I do need to say this, though. I don't think Angel Hernandez should be umping playoff games. He's absolutely terrible. He's terrible behind the plate today. He's terrible at first base. It's amazing that how he's getting a job to pitch and to play in these to umpire in these playoff games.
What did you say to him?
It's just a conversation for us, but he shouldn't be anywhere near a playoff game.
Is that sentiment shared by many of your teammates?
Everybody, I think.
Everybody.
I think if you go ask them on the other side too.
CC, was this strike zone tonight?
It's always.
Yeah.
It's always. He's bad. I don't understand why he's doing these games.
And what was kind of great was that somebody went to Rick Porcello and told him about CC Sabathia's comments, and his response was, quote, "Throw the ball over the plate, CC. I thought Angel Hernandez called a good game. You have to put the ball over the white part of the plate, and then you get strikes called. That's all I have to say about that."
Well, Porcello's still fired up about everything, and I can't wait until Angel Hernandez is behind the plate for one of his games in the regular season and screws up the strike zone, and Porcello's going to have to come out and say what a great umpire he is. I thought that was really weird of Porcello to do. I mean, you got the win. You took the series. Like, why are you defending you know Porcello thinks he sucks. I don't understand defending him in going after Sabathia like that.
It's salt. It's rubbing salt in their wounds. You know, it's the same reason that they played New York in the clubhouse. I understand that.
That's a devastating blow to anyone. I mean, that's like a knockout punch.
Sure. They got to hold the Wi-Fi password and we're able to log in. And
when you play New York, you could get everyone scrambling like maniacs. But that I understand. They knew the media would hear it. They were coming back at Aaron Judge, whatever. I don't get the hate from Porcello, especially since you know Porcello knows that Angel Hernandez is a terrible umpire. Why are you mad at Sabathia? You just won. What did he do? He sucked. I mean, he was wild. I mean, what do you want?
It wasn't good.
No, he was terrible.
He hit a guy. I mean,
yes, he was very wild.
He's not good.
Yes. So what do you want? What's your problem with it? I mean, you won it. You took everything. You won. You understand what I'm saying? Like, why are you mad? You just won. Relax, Porcello. Come on. Your face is long enough as it is. You don't need to be salty.
I'm trying to check out the new Daily News headline.
Yeah, they're not that great.
Curse of the Bumbinos.
No.
Yanks big bats do zip as Sox celebrate in the Bronx. Oh, that's it. Come on, you disappoint me.
They're not good. Bert Kreischer is going to join us. He is coming in January. Pre-sale, baby. You got to get these going on. He's going to join us in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ball count one away. Sanchez has been selling out for the fastball. The 3-2. And a swing and a high fly ball. Benintendi at the track will make the catch, tagging at third, and scoring is Gregorius. It is a one-run game, but Boston is one out away as Gary Sanchez just missed.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Bert Kreischer is supposed to join us, but these things generally don't work out.
This is awful. The New York Post, red-faced, you know, because of the Red Sox, and it's got a picture of Giancarlo Stanton.
And it's just a picture of someone with blood pouring from their face?
No, it's not Susan Waldman just screaming. She didn't do that thing from I forget what movie it was, where they put the lipstick all over their face.
That's Billy Madison, my friend.
Oh. See, I was thinking actually Wild at Heart, the Nicolas Cage, David Lynch movie.
Yeah, David Lynch loves putting lipstick on stuff. do you have a new dog, right?
I do, yep.
Now, how old is this dog?
We think a year and a half. We just got it 2 months ago, and from what we've learned about from the rescue group was that it was, they think it's about a year and a half.
All right, so my dog's about to be a year. This Tennessee dirt dog. That's no one can figure out what the hell it is. It's the strongest animal I've ever had. It's frightening to pet it because it has like pecs and biceps.
Sure. How big is this dog now? Because we saw it, it was like a little puppy that would curl up on a chair.
Yeah, no, that's let me put it this way. It's big enough that when it steps on your balls, it's a situation you have to rectify right away.
So you're like when you're lying on the floor?
Or? Like, no, if you're laying on the couch, because It was funny because Stephanie was like, I don't want it on the couch. And I'm like, all you care about is that dog sitting on you. You don't want it on the couch. What do you, just shoot yourself in the foot. And so I said immediately, get on the couch. But what the dog will do is she'll jump up on the couch and she likes like standing with two legs on you, just like looking at you like an idiot. And she always seems to find my nuts. And then, like, I'll be laying down on the couch, and she'll come up, and she'll get to the side of me, and she'll drop a toy on my, my balls. And then I have to immediately move it because this crazy-ass dog is going to end up biting something. But we're going to have Bert on in a second. But I will tell you this, forget it. I got nothing else. Bert Kreischer is Body Shots Tour. Very, very early pre-sale, Saturday, January 22nd. I was going to regale you with vomiting stories about the dog. Not you, Bert.
Gagging immediately.
Saturday, January 26th at 7 o'clock at the Wilbur Theater. You can get more info at thewilbur.com. Bert, congratulations on the Netflix special. I saw it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. You like how I said thank you before you even said you liked it? You're like, I saw it? And I was like, oh, thank you. You must have thought it was awesome.
Yes, indeed. And, well, just laying eyes on it is immediately a sense of approval. But, okay, so you watch the special, and there's a lot of stuff. I find it interesting because you're around my age, and you have kids, and you still – you don't think of yourself as your age, correct?
I don't even know. I guess not. I don't know. I still drink a lot. I think that's what it is.
Same with me. And so I don't – like, I don't – I still never kind of got over, like, college. So when I do things, I don't – sometimes I go, okay, I'm 43, and if I was 16 looking at me, I'd go, who's the weird guy with the gray beard at the bar? But you somehow transcend that.
Oh, they say to me, who's the shirtless guy with the gray beard at the bar?
Yes, you're a big fan of being shirtless.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm not what 43 was when I was a kid. Like, when I was a kid, 43 was an old man. And now I look at 43 and I'm like, oh, bro, you're not 50.
Right.
I hear guys that turn 50, like Bill Burr just turned 50, and I was like, 50? And I'm looking for, like, this telltale signs that he's dying, but I can't see him.
But you know they're inside. That somewhere inside he's dying.
Yeah, I do things that, like I said to Bill, I was like, do you have a cardiologist? And he's like, no, we need one of those. I was like, bro, you're 50. You definitely need a cardiologist.
Yeah, I kept having conversations about prostate exams because this guy in the show, Wallach, won't stop about it, and I have a paranoia about that.
I still haven't had a prostate exam yet, and I have diarrhea every day.
Yeah. I've never had a prostate exam either.
I mean, I had a fun one in spring break one time, you know, but... I don't think that counts. She wasn't that into it. She didn't cut her nails. It was awkward.
Yes, that's not the way the doctors do it, I've been told. Yeah. All right, so are you staying, because I saw you on the, you're friends with Joe Rogan and you do his podcast. And, yeah. And it seems to me that, like, you're comparing yourself to Rogan, and that's like buying cars with, like, Bill Gates. Like, he's going to get, like, a Lamborghini, like, Rogan claims to, like, shoot his own food and, like, only eats crap that he shoots and da-da-da-da-da. And then whenever you talk about drinking, it seems that they judge you in a way that's unfair because you're talking to people that are living lifestyles that are completely foreign to most.
Yeah, but here's the thing. See, I compare myself to Rogan when it goes, like, we're doing a workout challenge. That's what you're talking about this month.
Right.
And we have these heart rate monitors, and we're not drinking. It's Sober October. We don't drink all month. We don't do drugs. And then we work out. We wear the heart rate monitors, and we got to see who works out the most. Here's the deal. I'm like David and Goliath. I'm throwing rocks at the giant, and let me tell you something. The giant's gotten shook, all right? A couple times, he's already been like, dude, this heart rate monitor stinks. I don't even know what's going on. I worked out for 3 hours. All I got was 200 points. And it's been hilarious to watch him. And then yesterday, he put the gas pedal on. He was like, he texted, he was like, I will break you. I promise I will break you. So, and he burned like 5,000 calories in 3 hours.
Jesus. What do you guys do?
What does he do? I have no idea.
What do you guys do? Like, what do you do?
I just jog. I get on a treadmill and jog. I run 6 miles a day trying to get points on this damn MyZone fitness app that we're all doing. And he goes in and he thinks about rape and murder in his head. I'm not even joking. He thinks about people trying to kill his family and how he'd defend them. And he burns 5,000 calories in a workout and swings kettlebells, eats lug nuts. Who knows what he does?
So he what fuels him is imaginary hate.
Oh my God. He's like, what do you think about when you work out? And I was like, looking good when I go see friends. He's like, I think about someone breaking into my house and defending my family and saying they're going to rape and kill my kids. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's what goes on in your head? And he's like, yeah, that's not what goes on in your head. And I'm like, no, I'm thinking about not having a heart attack.
Right. So when this is over and November 1st comes around, like, what do you do the day that you've stopped these workouts, you can finally drink again? What do you usually do when this is over?
Well, sadly, I'm flying November 1st. We'll be having a Tito's and Sodas at the LAX airport. But November 5th, we're having a party. Me, Joe, and Tom, and Ari at his podcast compound. And we're doing a podcast. And we will be getting trashed. I mean, legit. I think we're getting bottles, these Pappy Van Winkle bottle of whiskey that's like $2,500. And bringing in weed from like the East Coast of Bali. I have no idea. We will be getting epically, biblically trashed. Like, and then I guarantee we come up with another challenge where I talk trash and go, I could run a marathon in under 4 hours.
And so then you've thereby ruined everything that you've achieved. Now, see, I've heard this too, is that they give you crap for drinking on airplanes. And I contend that 75% of people that are on airplanes have been drinking or they've taken some sort of sedative.
Here's the problem. They give me crap about drinking, but they all do drugs nonstop. So, like, They go, you need to stop drinking on airplanes and eat edibles. And I'm like, no, that defeats the purpose of relaxation. I'm going to get on an airplane or an edible, forget how to breathe, feel like my ass is glued to the seat, have a panic attack, and want to get out of the plane at 32,000 feet. I'm like, you guys are out of your mind. Here's what's hilarious. Last year we started the Sober October. We did it because Joe and Ari and Tom had what anyone else would call an intervention with me. They found out how much I actually drank. I told them I should have lied. They were like, how much do you drink? I go, I have like 9 drinks a night. And they're like, 9 drinks? And then Tom's like, they're doubles. And I was like, okay, 18 if you're counting doubles. And Joe's like, you need to quit drugs and alcohol. Well, I'll do it. And then at the very last minute, he's like, I'm not quitting weed. And we were like, what? He's like, I'm not quitting weed. I'm not doing it. It's ridiculous. How do you expect me to enjoy my meals or make love to my wife? And we were like, what did you just say? And he's like, what? And we're like, dude, you have a problem. If you're saying that you can't enjoy meals or hanging out with your wife without marijuana, you have a problem. And then he wrote back, fine, I'm in. So they have as much a big problem as with marijuana and alcohol as I do. It's just I'm honest about it.
Right. By the way, like, yeah, you might as well put me in a straitjacket if you have me eat edibles and put me on an airplane. And it's
dude, I would lose my mind.
I know.
Can eat 100 milligrams of marijuana, get in a tube, go up in the middle of the air, and just chill like they're in high school. You're out of your mind.
I've said the same thing, and it's funny that you said forgot how to breathe, because the same things happened to me, and then, like, I'll have it. You know the end of The Simpsons when the credits come really fast on the screen? Like,
yeah.
I'll have it where it's in slow motion, and I'll go, I know this isn't the time continuum that it really exists, but in my mind, a second is taking 5 minutes. I'm in for hell. I can only imagine on an airplane, like a 2-hour flight seems like 10 hours.
Dude, I was on a flight yesterday, sober, playing bricks and balls. Apparently that is my trade-off for not drinking, is I just play games on my phone like a child for 6 hours. But you know when you get up and you're like, ooh, that's been a while. How long has it been? And they're like, we've been in the air for an hour and a half. You're like, that's it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that on marijuana? Just that slow jog on a beach, getting from one place to another? Forget about it. Forget about it. Like a flight to Arizona from L.A., I get it, like a 45-minute flight. Yeah, let's get stoned where bejesus is and see the Lord for a few minutes. But I couldn't do it on one of these cross-country flights like these guys.
All right, so Bert, real quick, this is a story you've probably told a ton of times before, but I only know half of it. I don't really even know how it ends, but it's you. Did you get hit on by Will Smith?
No, what happened was my dad's a little old school, and when I first met Will Smith, we had to go to the recording studio. We hung out in like this dance studio, just me and him, and at the end he was like, hey, man, I like you. We should go to the movies. And I was like, okay. He was like, meet me at Planet Hollywood at 8. So I was like, okay. So I call my dad. And I go, hey, Dad. He goes, how'd it go? I go, good, we're going to the movies. And my dad's like, on a date? And I go, no, I don't know. My dad's like, oh, buddy, it's very popular in Hollywood. These guys have so many sex with so many women that the only thing that turns them on is like a straight young boy and like turning them out. It's called a casting couch. I was like, what?
He googled Hollywood dates and gave you all the facts.
Yeah, my dad's heard one story about Kevin Spacey and applied it to every male in Hollywood.
But seriously, what guy goes like, hey, let's go? Did you go to the movies with him?
Well, what's funny is I had told him in the meeting I was a big fan of hip hop. So I go to the meeting and there's 10 black dudes waiting in a waiting room for me, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna have sex with all these 10 black guys. And Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff, this is gonna be the longest night of my life. And then Will shows up and we just watched a movie. And at the end of the movie he was like, what did you think? And I was like, it was great. And I'm like, I didn't have sex with 13 black guys. I'm cool. Right. And he's like, no, what did you think about The Room? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, the guy's in it. And I was like, they're black? He was like, no, you said you were a fan of hip-hop. That's Kool Moe Dee. That's Biz Markie. Like, he invited all the big names of hip-hop from when I was a kid to go see a movie with us, like, knowing that I was a fan. And I was like, I could have had sex with Kool Moe Dee.
And by the way, Bert Kreischer, an opportunity at one point to nail Tiffany, but it didn't work out.
Oh, my God. Totally had a chance. I was listening to her music yesterday. I swear to God.
Yeah, she looks from the Playboy from about 8 years ago, which I imagine it was like 10 years or so ago where this happened. I mean, she was good looking. I mean, she was a very good looking lady.
Bro, hot. I would say hot.
Yeah,
hot. And Joey McIntyre was there when it was going down. Me, Sebastian Bach, and Joey McIntyre were in a room smoking weed. Joey McIntyre was not smoking weed, but he was in the room, and he was like, bro, you got to have sex with Tiffany. Oh, my God, you have no idea. We toured with her. You're going to have a crazy, crazy time. And then she left, and Sebastian Bach's like, oh, man, you didn't have sex with Tiffany. And then her assistant came back, and he was like, Tiffany would like you to have her number. And literally, you should have seen these two lose their mind. Like, he left the room, and they started dancing. They're like, you're having sex with Tiffany. It never happened.
Yeah, it's a shame. It would have been a great story, but you got one out of it. Bert Kreischer, Saturday, January 26th, at 7 o'clock at the Wilbur Theater. For tickets and more info, visit thewilbur.com.
The presale is on right now. It will sell out. It's the Wilbur. It's a small venue. I did it last time and did two shows. So this is the presale. Use the pre-code. From last night, my mouth is not working yet. The presale code body, or shots, just shots.
Okay, so go to thewilbur.com, presale shots.
Yeah, you like how road I am? I said I'm hungover. I haven't drank in 11 days.
That's right. Your body's rejecting itself. It's tough, huh?
I got to be honest with you. This time, this is a lot harder than the last time. The last time I didn't drink out of spite, and it was easy. This time, it's like I can really feel my body. You know when you're dieting and you go to the fridge and you open the refrigerator door and you're like, oh, I'm not allowed to eat anything in there.
Right.
That's what my brain's doing with drinking. My brain's like, hey, we should get high. And I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I can't.
Right.
Oh, yeah, this time's been harder than last time.
Well, you only have 21 more days, so you can get through it 3 weeks from now. All right, Bert, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Great conversation. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Right, thank you very much.
I had heard that part of the Will Smith thing, and I didn't know how it ended, but I had heard that he had, quote-unquote, been hit on by Will Smith. And obviously it was all in his head.
Well, who was it that asked someone to go out to get ice cream? We worked with someone who was like...
Oh, I know a guy. Like these two dudes who got ice cream together.
Yeah.
And they were like big bodybuilder type guys.
Like, but like,
I would see them in my neighborhood walking down the street eating ice cream together.
It's just such a weird thing to do, to go like, hey, you want to go to the movie? Like just meeting a dude and going like, you want to go to the movies?
Yeah, like his dad.
Yeah, but just like, you want... Like who does that? I can't even remember the last time I went to the movies with a friend. It must have been before college. Like, dude, what do you want to do tonight? I don't know, catch a flick. It just sounds so weird.
Go get some gelato together?
What do you want to get? That's the best. If you want to get some ice cream, you scream ice cream? I mean, come on.
It looked like Wright said Fred walking down the street with two scoops of vanilla on a cone.
Let's go get some ice cream. All right. The Houston Astros, you know, Rich, the Red Sox yesterday in the celebration were playing New York, New York.
Yep. It's a mockery of Aaron Judge, who was playing at Fenway Park after game two.
So it got us thinking, Wallach and I, if there was a song that, like something that would be uniquely Houston that could the Red Sox could mock them with, and all I could think of was ZZ Top, maybe play Tube Steak Boogie or something like that. But then our own Mike Lockhart found an actual song that the Red Sox can use to mock the Houston Astros if they eventually do win this series. We will have that. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. Happy. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. Happy.
1918. What does it mean? 1918. What does it mean? 86 years.
All days will be my next.
86 years.
I've been singing in my house constantly.
I'm a Red Sox fan, I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan, I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan, I can die.
I just for the first time noticed how they are layering the vocals.
Oh, yeah. It's gang vocals, as they say in the metal industry. Heavy!
So that's the song that the Red Sox play after every game.
They do. That is the dirty water of the now.
Right. But to the victors go the spoils. The Red Sox yesterday said to the Houston, not to Houston, to New York, they said, Aaron Judge, you're going to play New York, New York after game two. Well, I got news for you, Buster. After we get this thing all wrapped up, we're going to play New York, New York in our locker room, in our clubhouse. And as we spray champagne and beer, now I didn't see the celebration. I have to be completely honest.
Is it
sponsored? I know it was subdued, but was it like sponsored, like the real lame one?
I didn't see. Okay. I didn't notice if it was, but okay. I do know that there was champagne and there was Mookie Betts at one point was opening up one of the bottles and shot a cork right in Garen Austin's face, and hear how it sounded.
How much fun have you had watching Mookie have the season that he's had?
Tremendous. You know, he's a hard worker. He works his butt off.
I think he's about to get...
How old's Mookie Betts?
25?
He should know better.
Yeah, at that point, you should know.
How to open a bottle of champagne.
But the thing is Garen didn't even reference it after that.
No, well, neither did the woman that was interviewing him.
That's Garen Austin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She, from Nesson.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do I know about that? So she didn't reference at all.
No. She came back and started, like, I mean, he's shaking it up and he pops it. And while she's, like, talking to them, as you heard, it goes right into her face.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the middle of the interview. And yeah. and Mookie's face, like, oh.
And he didn't address it.
I mean, he's like, going, like, oh, are you okay? Kind of like patting her. She's like, yeah. And then she picks up the mic and just starts asking a different question. Oh. And off the mic, they never address it. At that point, you got to say something.
Yeah, I would say that, thanks a lot. You owe me some money.
Is that what you would say?
I would say that. I'd say this is the moneymaker, my friend. That's what I would do if someone hit me. I'd say that this is what pays the bills. Mm. Well, anyway, so we were talking about, you know, since the scathing one-upsmanship of the Red Sox coming after New York, is there a song that Houston would have or that you could mock them with? Say you win this ALCS. Could you mock them with something? I've not heard this, but apparently this is a Houston Astros song.
Okay.
And so it's not Red Sox fan, I could die.
All right.
It just said, I'm an Astros fan, I could die. You don't hear
busted
that
out the harpsichord,
oh, come
bitches.
On. All right.
We're rocking the harpsichord.
This is a high school band teacher. There's no question about it. Check it out.
This is, let me guess, 78?
This is going to
be... 1978? I'm feeling that.
I'm going to say it's early 80s when Astrodome Fever.
Right.
Astrodome Fever.
The Houston Oilers theme was a lot better than this.
Right around the time of when the Bad News Bears appeared in the
Astrodome. Let them play.
You got to let them play. You know, they're a bunch of ragtag kids.
Go, go, Astro. Here come the Astros, burning with desire.
Oh, look at them. They're all horned up.
There they come.
They're getting ready to pound some balls.
They're horny as hell.
They're all riled up. Looking for a you-know-what. He's got a melon in the microwave.
You've watched too many, like, 80s teen movies.
Yep.
Or trauma films.
I don't know. I just watched Big Mouth last night, and one of the kids is in love with a pillow. So maybe that's got me thinking.
Here come the Astros, burning with desire.
There's only one thing that can put up the fire. Chicks.
Is that how it goes?
Got a lump in my pants, got an itchy foot. I don't know. Got a lump in my pants, got an itchy foot.
How great would be if this song just took a turn?
Come on, strangle me. Don't be afraid. Come on, strangle me. Don't be afraid.
What?
Don't take much. Put your hands around my neck. Come on, strangle me. It'll be time you camp again. Hey, let me play with your feet while you string me. All right, so anyway, they're filled with desire.
Here come the Astros, breathing orange fire. Here come the Astros,
breathing orange fire. They've had a horrible breath. They have halitosis.
This is done by a magician.
Doug Henning is their mascot.
Here's some fire.
Here come the Astros with winning on their mind. Here come the Astros.
Don't mind that behind.
I didn't mean that.
He said something fine.
Astros with winning on their mind. Here come the Astros, number one every time. Go, go, Astros. Go, go, Astros. Way down south in Houston, baseball's come alive. From pitching to the outfield, it's flashing orange and white. Stealing around the bases.
You said rhyming be damned.
Yep.
We don't even care. We're down south of Houston.
Why did they say
we're in Mexico?
From pitching to the outfield, because then you've got to figure that they're setting up something to rhyme with field.
Yeah. And that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
This was the best era for theme songs, you have to admit.
Yes.
Like, I mean
well, they don't do them anymore.
Not like this. Not as good as this.
Not when they get a harpsichord out, which was, I mean, that was a big deal. That kind of gothic cathedral music was very big in Houston at that time.
Stealing round the bases, driving in the runs. No place else but Houston. Astros not.
And I want to see them buns.
So it says this sounds like it should have been in Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, this is the best era for team songs.
Yeah, this is written by someone who also had a screenplay for a truck driver movie.
Driving in the runs. No place else but Houston. Astros number one. Here come the Astros, burning with desire. Here come the Astros, breathing orange fire. Here come the Astros, with winning on their mind. Here come the Astros.
Eastbound down.
Yeah.
You gotta watch out for the Smokies.
Yeah. You have to. I mean, that's the best. And I wonder if it's the same people who made the other greatest
Convoy
song of all time.
This is the greatest.
This might be the best.
San Diego Chargers, this is the greatest.
Clap your hands, everybody.
Is there anything that's a worse job than a long haul trucker? Like, I just like that it was glamorized at one point. I mean, it just sounds like hell on earth.
Oh, sure. It's when CBs are all kick ass.
Well, that was what everything was, is that you did all that work so you could get a CB. That was everything.
It was the only reason you did it. There was always some guy in the neighborhood who had a CB in their basement.
Of the shortwave radio.
Oh, yeah.
You could talk to people around the world. David Letterman, very into shortwave radios. You could take the live animals, you'd be a slop hog trailer.
And then there was the mid-80s where it just got awful, where you had, like, New England, the Patriots, and we, which was just awful. And, like, that hair metal one that came out, too, about the Patriots, no.
That one, that Houston Oilers theme, was the Miami Dolphins copied. I forget who copied who. But, yeah, the Oilers theme wasn't very good.
There was a lot of bootlegging going around at that time. All right, Billy Jaffe's going to be in studio.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.